Today I'm going to be reading from the New International Version and three separate sections. The first is from Joshua 1, 8 to 9, and then one verse, an important verse, from Psalm 119, verse 105, and then conclude with 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be courageous and strong, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise be to God's word.
Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, again, I do thank you, as Dave did, for your word, for the opportunity of meeting together and having some great time of worship and praise to your name. But Lord, as we look in your word today, may your spirit give it depth, breadth. May your spirit minister into our lives right where we are at, as we need you. I pray this in your name. Amen. As I look out amongst us today, I can see an amazing group of people. But in amongst us today is a special guest, an incredible guest. This special guest is world-renowned. This special guest has been on the number one bookseller for many, 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 many years. In fact, it was on the bookseller for so long that they took it off the number one bookseller because it was fait accompli. It was always going to be the number one bookseller. How would you be if your football team was as good as that? It was a fait accompli that they'd turn up and win at everything they did. It'd be almost boring, wouldn't it? Obviously, I'm talking about the Bible today, God's Word. Number one bestseller, international, world-renowned, amazing book. But it's more than just that, isn't it? It is, as we know, part one and part two, Old and New Testament. It is, as we know, 66 different books written over an incredible period of time. An incredible period of time. If you go back and have a look at some of my poetry from the early days to now, you can see how it's changed. Whereas this book was written more than just one generation. 40 different authors put together this amazing book. And yet, over such a long period of time, 40 different authors, different formats and different ways of writing, we see a theme from Genesis through to Revelation. We see a common story, a main character, an amazing, incredible book. Amazing in so many regards. Translated. I don't think we've caught up on how many translations of this book have now gone. Some of the websites I went to during the week were changing, continuing to be reset. We now have a different format for our books, don't we? We have our tablets and our phones. We have apps, and there's Bible apps. How many of you have got Bible apps on your phones and tablets? Yeah. And isn't it amazing that so many of those Bible apps have been number one in all apps for that year? Amazing stuff. People getting into, getting a hold of the Word of God in all ways that they can. Gideons, who have been around many, many years and putting Bibles in places so that anyone can turn up and grab them, have now gone into Bible apps as well so that they can cut across boundaries. People all around the world can have access to this book. When I was at Bible college, one of my greatest resources was a set of commentaries by a guy called Matthew Henry. I think it cost me $175 for the whole set. You can now download that for free on Bible apps. So much easier to be a Bible college student in this day and age. You know, such cheaper. It's all there. It's amazing. It's incredible. I know when I often go visit people and I pull out my Bible, which is my phone. Amazing. Then they have a look. You got a Bible on there? No, I don't have a Bible on there. I've got 7 versions of the Bible on there and 4 commentaries. Showing off a little bit. But it's amazing, this book. But it's more than just a book, isn't it? It's something deeper, more incredible than just a book. It's not just some pages with words written on it. It's something amazing. There's something about it. When I first started youth ministry, a guy I started working with, he had his Bible, but it had a special cover on it. And it was called The Manual for Living. The Manual for Living. And I agree with him. Just as that is an EH manual, and this is a manual about all EH Holdens and everything in it, photos, publications, advertising and all that sort of stuff. When you first get your car, especially the EHs, is it, Richie, is it true Ford manuals are twice as thick? Is that right? No. That much more technology. Thank you, Richie. I knew there was a reason behind that. But, you know, back in the day, not so much these days, but back in the day, when you had a car, you had one of these manuals. How many people remember that? Yep. And when your car broke down, what did you do? You grabbed your manual and you had a look at it. These manuals are amazing. I don't know how they work, because whenever I looked in this manual and did some work on the EH, like there's little pictures that show you what goes where. And no matter what good those little pictures are, at the end of me fixing the car, I always had spare parts left over. Obviously not following the manual to the letter of the law. But that's a great manual for vehicles. Instructions are very important. This book is our manual. It's been given to us by our Maker, by our Creator. He knows how we work. And He wants, by His Spirit, to illuminate this book into our lives. When He gave it to Joshua, when Joshua was starting on that journey, as we read today, what did He say? Do not let this book leave your presence. Meditate on it day and night. Now, stop for a moment. What book did Joshua get? He got the Law of Moses. So, you know, you could look into it, and most commentary writers would agree, he got a part of the Torah. So he didn't get the whole, like, he didn't get Timothy, all right? He didn't get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He had what he had, and that's what God said, grab hold of what you've got and keep it in your heart, and I will be with you, and you will do great things because you hold on to this book. Even at that stage, no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no book of Revelation, but Joshua followed to that level. And as we go through the Bible, we see again and again that it highlights that there's amazing parts for you and for me to grab hold of from this book. Psalm 119, which is all amazing chapter in the Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 105, as we read. God wants to guide us through this book. Not just big picture stuff, but little picture stuff. He wants to guide us step by step by step. As a young Christian, I sought the Bible on all these big decisions that were coming. When I moved down to Tasmania, when I went into Bible college, when I met this gorgeous young lady who I thought one day I might marry, I sought God's word on an answer. Would have loved to have found Cynthia in the Bible somewhere. Would have helped. My mentor at the time was a guy called Tom Scarlett, and when he went through that process, he was dating a lady called Ruth. He found a passage in the Bible about Ruth and getting married. Oh, man, that cheats. So does that mean I need to find a girl whose name's mentioned in the Bible so I can get some biblical proof and evidence to get into that relationship? No. There's plenty of other ones we came up with, wasn't there, honey? God's word aligned for us to get to that point where we could be married. We knew it was God's will, God's plan. He lit up our path as we went along that journey. And I'll tell you what, it is an amazing journey. When God is walking it with you, it is incredible. Has it always been roses? No. Has it always been sunshine? No. It has been rainy days, something to do with picnics. But there has been tough times. We continue to read through the Word and we come across other passages that highlight what this book is about. 2 Timothy 3, God inspired, able to teach, able to rebuke, able to correct, able to train in righteousness. Ah, man. So when you grab your Bible and you're doing your devotional, are you ready for God to teach you, to train you, to rebuke you, to correct you? When our lives go out of whack, we live in the world today. And folks, just this week, I'm meeting with people and their lives are in a different sphere to where my sphere's at. Different understanding of relationships to where I'm at. Different concepts. The culture we're living in has an amazing amount of different concepts to basic living. Basic relationships between a boy and a girl. A male and a female. Basic relationships on whether it's okay to rip someone off or whether, you know, you really should be nice and generous. Totally different concepts. Foreign ways of dealing with stuff. And the amazing thing about social media is so many people put it up there about what they're doing, and you can absolutely go into prayer straight away because they're talking about it. You can see that their lives are not following the manual. And then you can see that their lives go out of whack as a consequence. I don't know about you, but Lord seems to rap me on the knuckles quite a lot. See, he's not finished with me yet. He's got so much more training to do. For those of you who are closer to me, you can say amen louder than you're thinking right now. There is so much more that God wants to do in and through my life, and he wants to sharpen me. He wants to hone me. This week, he brought me to a couple of points as I was looking at this message about repentance, on leaving things out, of not grabbing hold of things to the point where I should be able to do it. This book is alive and active. It's a double-edged sword. Anyone know the rest of the passage? Able to cut between soul and spirit. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I don't know about you, but last year God took me through a whole thing about soul, spirit, and the body and the mind. How do we love God with all that? How do you differentiate between the soul and the spirit? I mean, it's one of those big questions, isn't it? Go into the high psychology of it, the id and all that sort of stuff. But the Bible can separate the two. That's pretty impressive. That is pretty impressive. But even more than that, it separates bone and marrow. So it gets right in, better than the chalk and the liquid exercise that we did earlier in the year. The Word of God can penetrate deep into our very being, our physical being, as well as soul and spirit. And the next part, which I often forget this part. I don't know about, do you forget this next bit? About thoughts and attitudes. Oh, man. When I read that again this week, I went, Lord, that's part of the answer. Our culture these days has got thoughts and attitudes that are not attentive to the Word of God. Not attentive to God at all. And so we need to let the Word of God get into that system so that thoughts and attitudes can be changed, revolutionary, transformed. I don't know about you, but there's times when you push against the wall, isn't there? You come up against a different thought and understanding, a different attitude. And we need to see God's Word be able to penetrate deep into those parts. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13 also tells us that nothing is hidden from God's sight. So why should we read the Bible? Why? Well, more than just because it's a bestseller, more than just because it's what we do in church, I believe we should read the Bible because it's life-giving. It's transforming. The word meditate is often a sort of a religious sort of word, but if you stop and break it down a bit, we're always thinking about something, aren't we? We are. I mean, I know there's this theory out there that us blokes have got in our brain a nothing box, and there's times when we're actually just sitting there and we're not thinking of anything, and it's actually true, just thinking of nothing. But most of the time, we are actually thinking of something, aren't we? We're doing something. Our mind is working. We're meditating on something. We're reflecting on something, even when we're driving. When you're watching the football or cricket or sitting there talking to your wife as you're out having lunch. God's word is there to guide us, to help us to be strong and courageous. I believe we need to read the Bible. Why? Because it is our lifeline. God has laid out things in it that will help us get through the everyday, to survive, to be able to be who God has called us to be. In James chapter 5, we read about a little guy called Elijah. He was a normal man, right? And yet he was a righteous man. And he went and he prayed, and it didn't rain for how long? 3 years. Normal man, righteous, didn't pray. And so sometimes when we look at that sort of story, we go, okay, so if I be righteous, and then when I pray about something, that's what will happen. Well, you've got to go back into the story. Who told Elijah to go and pray that it wouldn't rain for 3 years? God did. It wasn't just something Elijah was walking along and going, I'm tired of this government around me. I'm going to cause it to not rain for 3 days. I'm going to pray because I'm a righteous man and God will hear my prayer. It wasn't the puppet making the puppeteer work. It was the puppeteer making the puppet do the work. Elijah prayed because he heard God's voice. He heard God's voice because he was a righteous man. And God moved and it didn't rain for 3 years. In 1 Timothy, got a couple other passages for us here to reflect on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we read this. I urge you then, first of all. What of all? First. Quick question for you. What does first mean? Priority, start. Yeah, start's a good word. Whenever it comes about, that's when it happens. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now this year as a church, we're going to be looking at God's story, our story. And this part, prayer, is part of God's story, and it's a part of our story. Prayer is walking and talking with the living, almighty God who created all that there is. That is just an incredible thing. God says to us here, in all things, firstly, pray. In all different ways. In prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. For who? For all people. For all people. I don't know about you, but when I start to go into a prayer time, and there's so many different ways of praying, isn't there? I mean, we go back to Martin Luther. He used to use the Lord's Prayer as a way to teach people how to pray. John Calvin, used to get people to pray through the Psalms. The Benedict monks used to do the same thing. Every week they would pray through all 150 Psalms. And you could go back through all the great and men and women of God throughout history, and there would be different ways, formulas, and process of way of praying through things. But basically what it means is there is a way that you can pray through things. There is a way that will suit you, your personality, and the way that you pray. I've talked with many of you here. I know some of you pray when you're running. Some of you pray when you're swimming. I would sink, I think, Anyway. Some pray out the back when we get out there. So many surfers say that when they get out the back and they're just out there and it's just peaceful and they just have a time with God. It must come with a fitness thing, because by the time I get out the back, all that you hear from me is, So maybe as I get fitter, I'll be able to have that connection with God out the back as well. But there are all different ways that we can pray. But the important thing is to what? It's to pray, and to pray for all people. I know that when I lift people up in prayer, my shoulders feel lighter. I'm not carrying it anymore. I'm handing it over to God. He's the one that can deal with it, can't he? I can't do anything. Brian's not well. I can't go and do anything that'll make anything better. Philippians chapter 4. Many of you love this passage. Many of you love this passage. Philippians chapter 4. Good one to memorize, this one. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6. Do not be anxious about anything. How cool is that? How many of us worry about stuff? Worry. I met with a family this week. Lots of worry. worry about stuff next year. You know what I'm saying? Let's just concentrate on today. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Next year, my goodness. Do not worry. Do not be anxious, God says. But in every situation. In what situation? In every. Do you like how the Bible uses those words? First, all, every. They're pretty inclusive, aren't they? They're right there on the money. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of us need the peace of God in our life? With every stress and strain that is around us, all the things that cause anxiety, to be able to go, God, this is yours, this is my petition, this is my prayer, this is my thanksgiving, all to you, Almighty God. And then all of a sudden you just get filled with his peace because you know the lover of your soul is on the job. Pray. Why pray? Why not? Why not? Prayer and the Bible are the basics of our faith. Our lives can be transformed and changed by reading God's word. Prayer can bring about transformation in our own lives as well as in the lives of others that we pray and intercede for. The word and prayer. Let's pray. Father God, these are two amazing areas. They're areas that I love. I love to get into your word. I love to pray. But Father, there are times right across all of our lives where the pressures of this world, the busyness of our lives and family and work and other pressures that push in. And we can take our eyes off your word and we can listen to the lies of our culture and the lies of the people around us. And we can start living lives that just take us way off track, that give us the wrong thoughts and attitudes which lead us into the wrong goals and values of life. So, Father, I just want to repent on my behalf. And if there's other brothers and sisters here today who want to do the same, then, Lord, we just want to hand this over to you. And we want to say, Lord, would you guide us into having a more of a heart, a passion, a desire to get into your word, that we would meet together around your word, whether it be on a Sunday or during the week, or we just encourage each other through text messages, or we keep each other accountable to getting into God's word. And Father, in prayer, Lord, I pray that in 2016, this will be an area that will just continue to grow and explode in and through us as a church. Father, we are wanting to look at your story and our story, and your word and prayer are going to be big elements of those two things. Already this year, Lord God, we have seen answers, amazing answers, lives transformed because of you intervening through prayer and through your own goodness and grace into people's lives. We want to see it more and more. We want to see it more and more, Lord God. But start with us inside these four walls. Start with us. Do a work in us. May our love for your word just grow exponentially. May our love for prayer, the desire to pray, the first of all would be true. Living a life of righteousness would be your mandate on our lives. Father, we celebrate your love for us. We celebrate your joy. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate each day that we get to walk with you, to share your love and let your gifts that are in us grow and develop, that we may truly be the people you've called us to be. Lord, we love you. We love the word and we love to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.